In the name of Jesus, who is Lord over every authority, amen. The gospel message of Jesus as the Lord of all, the Messiah from Israel to rescue the whole creation, has been spreading. This message has been spreading from Jerusalem out to Israel, out to the Samaritans, out to the fringes of Israel, to those just barely connected, and then finally bursting through into the nations. People having nothing to do with Yahweh or with Israel are now hearing that Jesus is the Messiah and that he is Lord of all creation. And God, in the midst of this, his hand has been present. As we saw last week, his hand has been present rescuing his people, pulling them out of prison, taking down tyrants, providing for them in the midst of famines. God has been providing for his people. God has been protecting his people. Our story picks up this week with Saul and Barnabas. We may remember last week that Saul and Barnabas had been preaching for a year, creating a Christian community in Syrian Antioch, the third greatest city in the entire empire, just north of Jerusalem. There, they are working, but remember, they had heard the summons to gather a collection of resources, food, money for the Christians in Jerusalem who are hurting. Famine is going to pummel them. They've been hurt by persecution. They are poor and ravaged in Jerusalem. So Saul and Barnabas take these goods down to the poor Christians in Jerusalem to help them out. After spending their time delivering the goods to them in order to help relieve them of their poverty, Saul and Barnabas return to Syrian Antioch. And there they spend another year preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus in that place. And there our text picks up. As they are preaching in Syrian Antioch, they are gathered with that community, constantly praying to God, constantly attentive to the Holy Spirit through fasting. Fasting were times of going without, times of living in a sort of intentional poverty so that their brains and bodies weren't satiated with the pleasures of life, so that they could be more attentive to the word of the Lord. This prayer, this fasting, readies them to hear the message that they receive one day. Out of nowhere, the Holy Spirit speaks to them. Set aside Saul and Barnabas. I've got a mission for them. Drop everything you're doing in Antioch. I'm sending you west. They listen to this voice of the Holy Spirit. They pray, they fast, they lay hands on Saul and Barnabas, and they say, we are going to submit to the Spirit's guidance. We don't know where you're going. We don't know why the Spirit is taking you from us, but off you go. And faithfully they send Saul and Barnabas out. And they take John Mark, the writer of the Gospel of Mark, with them. They head down to the coastline. They head west into the Mediterranean Sea. And there they come to Cyprus. Cyprus, a Roman province, an island in the middle of the Mediterranean. And they begin on the east side of this island. They start working their way west, going into the synagogues, the places where the Jewish people gathered, people of Israel scattered throughout the empire. They go to these synagogues and they start announcing that Jesus of Nazareth, crucified back in Jerusalem, is the Messiah. Not just the Messiah, he is the Lord of all creation, Lord of even the Roman Empire. And as they move west across Cyprus, they get to the capital city where the Roman provincial governor, Sergius Paul, resides. He hears of this Saul and Barnabas and their preaching of Jesus, and he summons them. He's interested in this message. So Saul and Barnabas come to Sergius Paul, Roman provincial governor of Cyprus. And there Saul and Barnabas preach to him the gospel of Jesus, calling him to repent and transform his life as they had called to all people beforehand. Sergius Paul is fascinated by this message, but he has an advisor who is a Jew, a Judean himself, down from the Jerusalem area. This advisor, we are told, is a false prophet, though. He goes by the name of Wise Man, how much he thinks of himself, and he advises this Sergius Paul, don't listen to the gospel of Jesus. This is madness. And he begins to fight against Saul and Barnabas' message. He wants to get between Saul and Barnabas and this Sergius Paul. He doesn't want him to be converted to the faith. Saul, confronts this wise man and says, "You, sir, are a child of the devil, a child of Satan himself. You are an enemy of true justice. You are fighting against the true God. You will be blind physically, because spiritually you already are blind, completely hard-hearted and oblivious to the message of Jesus." And in that moment, this wise man, this great advisor and false prophet for the Roman provincial governor, goes blind. Sergius Paul, the Roman provincial governor, sees this, amazed, startled, and this moment causes him to convert. And he gives his entire life to the way of Jesus. A very, very risky prospect for him. A Roman provincial governor sworn to adhere his allegiance to the Roman emperor above all else as Lord, now says, "No, the Roman emperor is not my Lord. It is Jesus of Nazareth, who the Romans crucified in Jerusalem." At this time, we are told that Saul suddenly starts going by the name of Paul. No explanation why, but we can deduce from the text that it's probably connected to the conversion of this Sergius Paul. That maybe Paul was so proud of this man that he had taken under his wing with the gospel of Jesus, of giving his life to Jesus as Lord, putting his life and job on the line to follow Jesus, that Saul starts going by the name of Paul in honor of this man, this Roman governor who is converted to the faith. Saul and Barnabas then decide to move north. But before they leave, John Mark, who is with them, we don't know why, turns back. Is he frustrated at Saul, now Paul, for taking this rich, powerful Roman governor under his wing? We don't know. Does he have a family matter to attend to? We don't know. But John Mark turns back. This will be important later. So Saul and Barnabas head north. They cross the Mediterranean Sea north into what we now know as Turkey, Asia Minor. And there they go into the region and province of Galatia. They go into another city named Antioch, Pisidian Antioch, not Syrian Antioch. And there they go into the synagogue and they gather there with the Jews worshiping. And they're sitting there in the assembly listening to the word of God be read. And after the word of God is read, the leader of the synagogue says, "Brothers, you Jews, Saul and Barnabas, we see that you are new among us. Do you bring a message from the Lord from afar that you would like to share?" Saul, now Paul, says, "Absolutely, I'd love to talk." So Paul gets up in front of the synagogue and he begins to preach. We get a taste of what his message might have been in the synagogues. He says, "You people of Israel, we have been God's people for centuries. And you know that God's MO is to lift his people out of poverty and brokenness and slavery and lowly situations and exalt his people. Remember, he took us out of slavery in Egypt and lifted us up. When we were out in the wilderness and we were starving, we thought we were dying, he lifted us up and he provided for us. He took care of us. And we were in the land of the Canaanites and we thought they were going to kill us and destroy us. The Lord lifted us up and he gave us victory over all those nations. God has always lifted up the lowly and exalted them. But you know that our people got tired of being lowly. And eventually they asked God, demanded God, give them a king. Because the people of Israel no longer wanted to be lowly. They no longer were willing to let God pull them up out of the dirt. They wanted to be on top. They wanted a king like the world. And so God said, fine, you can have Saul, and he's going to be a tyrant over you. And Saul was miserable. But in the midst of that, God did not abandon his people. He took a lowly shepherd boy, the last born of his family, David. And to this shepherd boy, he said, you're going to be a king, an example of a lowly boy lifted up and exalted. And from your line, David, will come the true king. You're not the true king, but the true king will come. And as we know, David got lifted up by the Lord, but that arrogance, that lifting up went to his head, and he became a nasty man, an adulterer, a murderer, betraying the Lord. But the Lord stuck with his people. But you, Israel, have continued to be hard-hearted to the fact that God lifts his people from the bottom and lifts them up. Stop trying to be on the top. And when this Jesus, the true Messiah, a poor boy from Nazareth, born into an unwed family, when he came into your midst, preaching the message of God's deliverance of the poor and the broken, you killed him. You couldn't stand this lowly Jesus being your true Messiah. You murdered him and put him on a cross. But guess what God did in response? He took this lowly dead Jesus and he raised him from the dead. Because God lifts up the lowly. That's what he always does. So where's David? He's dead in the ground. You think he's the Messiah? No way. Jesus of Nazareth was dead in the ground, but God raised him from the dead. He is the true Messiah. Turn to him. Repent. Give your lives to him as the Lord of all. Follow his word, his life, his teaching. The synagogue there in Pisidian Antioch, the Jews are fascinated by this message. And they say, Paul, we're interested in you coming back next week. We want to hear more. So Paul comes back the next week. But in the meantime, the Jews who did not like this message, this arrogance of Paul saying that they were hard-hearted, that they had forsaken Yahweh, that they had walked away from being lowly in order to try to be on top of the world, those Jews incited the rich and the powerful people of Pisidian Antioch to turn against Paul and Barnabas. They said, you got to get rid of this Paul and Barnabas. They will turn this province against you. Dangerous message of this lowly Jew being the Messiah. And so these powerful authorities in Pisidian Antioch listen. And that day when Paul returns to preach in the synagogue, instead, he and Barnabas are thrown out of Pisidian Antioch. Outside the city, Paul and Barnabas do exactly what Jesus had said, and they dust their feet off. And they say, you, no, we had to preach the gospel to you first, but because you're hard-hearted, you resist, you reject it, we are going to go to the nations. We will go to the lowly who will listen. We wipe the dust off our feet, letting you know that God's judgment is here. We've done our part. You haven't listened. It's all on your heads now. And Paul and Barnabas leave, rejoicing at being persecuted and thrown out of the city for the name of Jesus. Two groups that I want us to focus in on in our text and stories this morning. Two groups. The first, the faithful disciples. Notice how attentive and open they are to God's word. Praying and fasting, opening their lives up so that when the Holy Spirit speaks to them, what do? Drop everything and go on a mission trip. They leave it all behind, everything they had been building in Syrian Antioch, to go out into the Mediterranean Sea and venture for God, to take his gospel where they want it. At every turn, the faithful in our text are open to God guiding their lives in radical ways. But notice the second group to compare and contrast to the faithful, the hard-hearted. The resistors, those like that wise man advisor, when the gospel of Jesus breaks into his world, he resists, he fights it. Like the Jews and the powerful authorities in Pisidian Antioch, when the gospel of Jesus breaks into their world that Jesus is Lord of all, they resist, they fight it. They can't stand to have their lives disturbed by this message. They're too comfortable. They like things the way they are. They fight against the word of Jesus. They silence it. They will not listen. They resist. But the faithful, like this Sergius Paul, a provincial Roman governor, puts his whole life on the line by committing his life and his whole family to the way of Jesus. He had said the Roman emperor was Lord, but now he says Jesus is Lord of all. This could kill this man, but he does it. He's open to the call of Jesus. Which of these two groups do we find ourselves in? And certainly it's more of a spectrum, but reflect this morning on where today in your faith journey, do you resonate more? Are you open and receptive like Sergius Paul, willing to drop everything to give your loyalty and allegiance to Jesus? Open and receptive like Paul and Barnabas, ready to drop everything, all your plans, all your dreams, to go on an adventure for Jesus? Or maybe this morning you resonate a lot more with the wise man or the Jews and authorities in Pisidian Antioch. Jesus, this message, it's too crazy. Oh, it's so disturbing. My life would be ruined. It's too much. I can't take it anymore. I can't listen to that. It's just, it's messing in my heart, and I know I can't do it. Where do you find yourself on your faith journey today? Think about that. Let this text be a lens for your life this morning, that you might see that, oh, maybe you're in a group you didn't think you were in a little more than you should be. And our call this morning from Jesus is, wherever you are on this spectrum, from completely hard-hearted to the most receptive, continue to submit to the Word of God. Continue to open up your lives and hearts just a little bit more, a little more, a little more. Just open up your lives and hearts like a flower to let the Word of God in. It's terrifying. It's scary, but imagine being so receptive and open in prayer and in times of fasting that you could hear the voice of the Holy Spirit speak to you and guide you, telling you where to go and what to do. Imagine a connection so intimate with the Lord that whatever word you heard from Jesus in the Gospels, your heart and life was ready to jump on it with eagerness. And also think about us as a community, because you can't do this alone. No person hears the call of Jesus alone, in a sense. Saul and Barnabas, they go out together. That we as a community, how are we supporting one another in listening to the radical call of the Holy Spirit? Or do we support each other in resisting it? Because groupthink can be dangerous in that way. So hear the story of Saul and Barnabas. Hear the story of the wise man who rejects the Lord. Listen to the story of Sergius Paul, who opens up his life to it. Listen to the story of those resistors in Pisidian Antioch, but faithful Saul and Barnabas who rejoice in persecution. Find yourself this day on that spectrum and pray to the Lord. Open your life to Him, to hear His call, to hear His Spirit, that whatever He says, you would be receptive and open to following Him wherever He leads. Amen.